Hello everyone, welcome to White Rabbit Presents podcast number 5. Now there's been a bit of a gap since we came back from Edinburgh, but today we've got a kind of special podcast. We're here with the other half of White Rabbit, who hasn't done a podcast yet.
The shorter half,
Bernadette Russell. And we're going to do a special podcast today, all about one project. And it's about 366 Days of Kindness, a project Bernadette did last year, from August 2011 to August 2012. And she's still doing it, I think.
Yeah. I am still doing it.
So, first of all, Bernadette, explain, first of all, the idea of the project. 366 Days of Kindness. What is a project? What's the rules?
Yeah, well, it didn't really start off as a project, which is interesting. I was in Edinburgh of August 2011. My show, the play that I wrote for Penny Dreadful, which is called Ether Dome, had just opened the Assembly Room, so I was there having a nice time. And whilst I was there, I went to the City Cafe, which is my favourite cafe in Edinburgh. It isn't actually the best one, but it's like a comfortable pair of old wellies, Gareth.
Very nice.
And so I was in there with my friends, having breakfast, and then I saw on the television that the riots had kind of kicked off around the country, but particularly in London, particularly around where I live. The sound was turned down the telly, so it was really, really distressing. I mean, it looked like civil war. It was horrible. And I was quite nervous about coming back home. I was worried about friends and my neighbours, but I was also quite nervous about coming back into London. And I came back to London on the 17th when things had kind of quietened down. And the next day, I was in my local post office in Deptford, and there was a boy in front of me in the queue. And I'd been thinking about the riots and who was getting blamed for it and who wasn't getting blamed for it. And, you know, there was all that things like people being pushed through courts being open for 24 hours and people being pushed through and getting really punitive sentences for swearing or for taking a pair of laces.
Right.
It just seemed really kind of Dickensian level of punishment. And the boy in front of me in the queue had his hood up and his trainers on, and he looked like one of the people who at that time was being blamed for all those events. And he didn't have enough money for his driving licence application envelope. They looked like free posts. So I paid for his stamp. And he was very grateful for this, and he got quite upset that I'd done that for him. And that, in turn, had a profound effect on me, because I thought it was no big deal. It's just a little thing to do. And I'd been thinking, you know, in general about how awful it was seeing London burn and how awful it was to see people being kind of mean to each other, I suppose. So when I came home, I just thought, I'm going to try and do that every day. I'm going to try it every day for a year. And it was 366 days because it was a leap year, to be kind to someone I don't know every day for a year. I posted it on Facebook and Twitter as I started.
So that's the project. So every day for a whole year, you'll be kind to someone.
But it was just totally spontaneous. The reason why I'm saying it's not a project, it didn't start off as a project. It was literally something I was doing to tell a few of my friends on Twitter and Facebook as a thing that I was doing. You know, it was outside my artistic practice. It kind of became a project as the year went on, I suppose. Right.
And so you after the post office, so it started from the post office in Deptford and that incident. And where has the kindness led you? Is it all been around London, or has it been around the UK?
It's quite a lot been in the SEA area, sort of from Deptford up to London Bridge, because that's where I live and that's where my studio is and that's where I work quite a lot. But also, I've worked in Birmingham a lot. I did a show with Birmingham Rep and Stands Cafe earlier this year. So it's been with me in Birmingham, which seemed sort of pertinent and appropriate that it was in Birmingham. And, you know, I've worked in Winchester, I was at the Point in East Lee, so I did it there.
So you've done certain kindnesses there when you've been away,
absolutely.
Right. And what about anything abroad?
Yes, Canada, because I sometimes got requested by people to send something anonymously through the post. Always handmade little things and presents to people. So it's gone to Canada, Paris. I think those are the only two places out of the country, but all over the country as well through the post when I've made special cards for people. So
give me an example of a kindness. Is each one very different? Have you done similar ones? Or
I'll give you three examples. So one of the things I do is I hand make cards. I take a lot of care over them, so they're little art projects on their own. Hand make cards and make little handmade presents, and I might post them through the post like a friend might say, a friend of theirs that I don't know is feeling a bit down or something's happened, or, you know, someone contacted me through Twitter about a soldier that had to come back from Afghanistan and was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. So I send these people things through the post. That's one thing I do, and that's kind of anonymously.
So it's a present that you would send
someone? Handmade.
And sometimes you get requests from people?
Yeah, I do. And
wow.
And sometimes that's from friends of theirs. Sometimes that's from total strangers. And that's really varied. I've sent things to soldiers, to prisoners, to older people, to people suffering from depression, just people who need a bit of cheering up. So I've done that. And then there's another kind of more spontaneous one. So I might plan to do something in the day, and then I'll see someone struggling with their shopping. For example, I saw this lady struggling with her shopping, and I helped her carry her shopping home, which was about a quarter of a mile. It's probably about half a mile walk, actually. My arms are like gibbons. So I do that sometimes. Like gibbons on.
Yeah.
So if the opportunity arises to help someone, then I'll do it. And then another thing I do is I leave presents and gifts and homemade sweets and cakes on people's doorsteps with a little note, and I ring the bell and I run away.
Like a sort of trick or treat type thing.
But in a nice way.
Yes, without the trick.
As if Amelie from that film was doing trick or treating.
Right. That.
But another thing I do, because we run our Are You Sitting Comfortably event every month, we've usually got a lot of homemade cakes left over. So after every show, I'd go and take the cakes to a different charity shop, and they would just give them out to the customers. I've done things like that. Sponsored people, helped people with their gardening, done other people's recycling, help my neighbour carry her sofa through the window. Really random things.
So when
I've helped a lot of people who've been lost, actually, and gone out of my way to like make sure they get on the right train or get on the right bus.
So when you started the first, say, month, was that very different that first month to how
really
it is
hard.
At the end?
Yeah, it was really, really
Why was it really hard?
To be honest, the practice of doing something every day is difficult anyway. I think that would be challenging for anybody. Because my life isn't particularly structured and can be quite chaotic, that presented its own set of challenges, just because sometimes I was really busy, or sometimes I would literally not see anyone all day. So in order to do it, I would have to go out, or I would have to connect in some way with someone. So it was difficult. And then after the first couple of weeks, I basically decided to give it up. And then lots of people said, no, don't give it up, keep doing it.
And what was the point that you decided to give it up?
2 weeks.
Oh, really?
It was exhausting. Yeah, I set the bar too high, so I was doing things like leaving quite extravagant gifts in phone boxes. And
you're giving money, was that right?
Yeah, and so it was too expensive, and that's just not sustainable, really.
No.
So then I kind of let myself off the hook a bit, and sometimes I think, okay, this week it's not going to cost me anything, or this week it's going to all be about leaving things on trains for people to find, you know, and so I made it easier, because a year's a long time to do something. And then I would say after 3 months, it got easier, and after 6 months, I almost stopped thinking. It became a habit in a really positive way. And the part of the reason I haven't stopped doing it at the end of 366 days is because I did stop doing it for a week, and I really missed it. It's incredibly cheering, incredibly positive, sort of life-affirming thing to do.
Yeah, of course,
with your life. Yeah.
And so I know this is really hard, because every kindness is the same. What's one of your favourite ones?
One of my favourites was my friend. I've got two sort of ones that stand out, but one of them was a friend of mine told me a story about her nana's best friend. And her nana had recently passed away, sadly. And her nana's best friend had lived on her own. She really missed her nana, because they're best friends. And her son lived in Australia. She lived in the UK. She didn't see him very much. And she spent a lot of time on her own. So I bought her a present. I bought her some daisy perfume, and I made her a card. And I wrote to her, and I just said, I'm a friend of Kirsty's, and I just wanted to say, I hope you're having a nice day. I wrote her a little letter, and that was really sweet. And she wrote me a beautiful card back, really handwritten card, lovely card back. And I've just written to her again actually today just to say hello, so that was really nice. I just thought that was a really sweet one. And another time I found a man in the churchyard of St Paul's Church in Birmingham in the Jewellery Quarter, and his feet were bleeding. It was a really rainy day and his feet were bleeding. And wow. I gave him my socks. I took off my shoes and I gave him my socks. And I, you know, I had something else prepared for that day, but I saw him and also I thought, you know, it's horrible. You know when your shoes really dig into your feet? And I just thought, if you're living out and about, you don't need, well, not homeless, if you're not living anywhere, you don't need your feet to be bleeding. And we had a little chat and he told me that feet are the really hardest bit about being homeless. And I found that incredibly moving. And it was no big deal. My feet got a bit wet. There's no difference to me, you know, it's no big deal at all. And then I walked past the church and there was a sign saying, please do not encourage beggars on the door of the church. I don't think I really even need to make a comment about
that. No.
And I walked, actually I went back later because I wanted to get him, I bought another sandwich when I bought my lunch to give to him, but he wasn't there. But,
just a question before we go on.
Yeah.
So just to lead it on, with the last year, have you had religious groups, religious people talk to you about the process? And what's
some really interesting ones. I had a fantastic conversation with a really lovely vicar in Birmingham. It was a really great chat with him. His community were affected by the 2011 riots, and he'd also noticed a change in his community in Birmingham since the recession. You know, things like food banks being used a lot more for a broader base of people. Just noticed people being hungry and poor. And so we sort of talked about that, and we spoke about kindness, and he spoke about how difficult that is to be kind sometimes. He was just really generous and sort of talked to me about that a lot and about his faith, and that was really lovely.
Have you had any kind of anti ones, you know, religious groups or anyone, any negative?
No, I have had people who work in the charity sector who've not allowed me to be kind, which sounds a bit weird, but for example, I've tried really, really hard to donate some presents to a old people's home that's opposite me to their for their raffle, Christmas raffle, and they would not accept them. Right. And I don't know if that's a kind of
legality safety rules thing, or
but they
yeah.
were pretty hostile, and that was hard. I tried on a number of occasions, and they just weren't having it.
Right. Well, this leads me on to the next question. Your worst experiences in the year. There must be a couple.
I've had some funny ones. I was doing a gig, actually. I compare sometimes at Madame Jojo's, and me and my friend Harriet coming home, and I thought, oh, I've got this book that I wanted to give away to someone. So I went to Piccadilly, you know where Eros is?
Yeah, Piccadilly Circus.
There was loads of people gathered around afterwards. So I approached this girl and I said, oh, I wanted to give you this book. It's really good. And I thought you might enjoy it. My name's Bernadette. I try to do a good deed for a stranger every day. And she just said, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I realised that she didn't speak English. And I think she was just a bit alarmed.
Scared.
Yeah, but I was just a bit gutted. I was like, oh, okay. And so I ended up giving it to the taxi driver and giving him a bag of sweets, and he was delighted because he got that and he got £28 taxi fare, which is extortionate.
Wow.
So that was a funny one. But also, on two occasions, at Euston Station on the concourse, people have been really, really rude to me. But I think that's because, one, people are in a hurry because they're trying to get a train. And two, I think they probably think you're trying to sell them something like a mobile phone upgrade. So I don't really do train station concourses anymore.
I think you feel you're at your most vulnerable state when you come out of a train or plane. Yeah, I think you probably feel, like you said, you're entering somewhere new.
Yeah.
And you're worried that people do try to sell you stuff and that kind of... Yeah, and
you have to be careful about that.
Yeah. And there is a whole thing about it, isn't it? If someone comes up to you and says, it's like a great sales technique. Someone comes up to you and goes, hey, free beer.
But it sort of is a sales. It is sales. Yeah. It is like sales. And that's interesting.
But you haven't got... There isn't a catch after that. You're not saying join this church. But in people's heads, they're either thinking, there's something else attached to it. I'm going to have to sign something, or I'm going to have to join some organisation.
But what's happened is, I have got better... the trick is to take your time and to actually talk to people and explain it. And actually Chris, my friend, really early on said to me, I think it might be good to say I'm trying to do a good deed every day, because people understand that. They understand the idea of trying to do a good deed. So I'd often say to someone, oh, I hope you don't want me talking to you. I'm not crazy, but I'm doing this thing where I'm trying to do a good deed for a total stranger every single day. And then they'd be like, oh, that's interesting. And I'd say, yeah, it's since the riots. And then I'd say, because that was really upsetting. And they, generally speaking,
right,
have an opinion about that. And then I say, so would you accept this?
Oh, that's good. Rather than going,
and then it's
quick,
a conversation.
Yeah, rather than going, here, free thing.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Whereas when I've tried to rush it...
Didn't you have someone who you ended up throwing?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It was about 3 weeks in. And I was at London Bridge Station. It was a Sunday, about 5 o'clock. And I was just thinking... And I made this little really nice card, actually, with some sweets. And I thought, oh, I've got to give this to someone. So I went up to this man and I said, this was before I'd understood that you need to be... Well, before I got better... In a way, selling the idea, I suppose, or presenting the idea. So I just said, hi, I want to give you this. And he went, I don't want it. And I went, oh, no, it's really, really nice. I promise you. And he said, I don't want it. And I went, just take it. And I sort of pushed it in his hands and ran down the escalators. And I thought, that really wasn't kind.
So you just pushed it, threw it at him.
I did, pretty much threw it at him. And actually, later on that day, I posted a card through a house on my road because I thought that doesn't really count. Actually throwing something at someone probably doesn't really count. Even though if he actually opened it, they'd be messaging. But I've just remembered another good one that happened was my nephew was born at Christmas.
Right.
And as I was going to visit my sister in hospital, I saw this girl with this really cute dog and I gave her a Christmas card and actually she was really apprehensive. You could see, and I went, don't just open it and read it. It's not... She was really, really apprehensive. But then later, about an hour later, she contacted me through Twitter and said, I can't believe you gave me a Christmas card.
Oh, right.
So sometimes you think people...
Oh, apprehensive,
the
when
I'm
they get later
that
on,
is
yeah.
You don't... You have to sort of believe or have faith, to use the F word. You have to have faith that... You have to understand you are never going to know how positive or not that is. You know, because I think there's going to be some people who I'll never know and they liked it a bit, or I'll never know and they really, really cheered them up and
yeah,
they did the same thing themselves the next day. You have to let go of that in a way and just do it. So in a strange way, though I'm an atheist, it involves faith.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And alongside that, it has transformed my faith in human beings and goodness. And I know that sounds a little bit like I am attempting to start a cult.
No, but in a very small way. I mean, I've been with you when you've done a kindness,
yeah,
and it's a very interesting thing because I, you know, I get nervous when you give a kindness out because you...
Do you?
You feel like, you know, oh, this person's... How are they going to respond to that? And you can see there's an anxiety.
Yes.
And because of all the things we discussed before. But... You know, when, yeah, the whole thing about when they go away, that's very interesting. It's something, like you said, you can never experience unless you get feedback from them.
Yeah.
But when they're at the home 2 hours later, or they open it up, and how do they experience you? And you know when you've had a response, because some people have been cried, you know, and it's really affected them deeply, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I met a guy came into my... I had an exhibition on the anniversary day when I'd done a year. And towards the end of the day, a guy came in called Stuart Wu, really lovely guy. I didn't know him. And my friend Denise had asked me to write to him. I didn't know him, send him a card. And I spent a long time making this really lovely card. And he basically had a really lovely chat with him. And he said it totally blew his mind. He was in a really dark place. And he never keeps Christmas cards or birthday cards, but he's kept this card and it's still on his mantelpiece. And he was blown away by the fact that someone who wasn't a stranger cared enough to make a card about him. So I go to quite a lot of trouble there, quite detailed. You know, I don't just... Not that there would be anything wrong with buying someone just a card from a shop, but... They're quite special, the things I make people, so... Or I try to make them. I'm not, you know...
And so if you... Every time you've done one, you've put it onto your blog, your Facebook and
so
Twitter.
Yeah, I've blogged it. It goes on Facebook and Twitter every day. Normally with a picture when
and
it's appropriate.
Have people been inspired to do their own kindnesses?
Yeah, lots of people. There was another society started up called the Broken Biscuit Society as a result of... my kindness project, and my friend Sharon Culcutt is now doing her own 366 days of kindness, so she sort of carried the torch after I finished my year, even though I still decided to do my year as well. And lots of people have contacted me and said, I did this or that or the other, or I thought of you when someone asked me for money and I gave them money instead of not doing, and yeah.
Right.
And I've never done... A lot of people have said to me, why don't you try and make it viral? Why don't you... I kind of think it's happening anyway, you know. I don't think I need to sort of shout and rant and rave and get people to do it. I think doing it and it being a public doing of it is enough, actually.
And any, have you had any negative feedback, or has it all been quite positive? Has it been?
No, I don't. Not to my face, but I can imagine why someone. I could imagine someone thinking, "Well, it's no big deal. I give money to charity. I'd help people out." And I appreciate that standpoint. No one's actually right. said that, but could understand someone thinking that. I totally appreciate that. All I can say in response to it is bringing it to the front of your mind, making it conscious. I think most people are kind a lot of the time anyway, but there was something for me about making it a conscious thing that I did every day that meant that I was kind on days that I didn't necessarily feel like being.
No, so there That's were certain the days that you had, did you,
oh,
that
God,
you went,
yeah.
I can't,
you know, you're in
a
bad mood, or you've had a terrible night's sleep, which happens to me a lot, or you're really busy, you know, I did this in a year, I couldn't have anticipated this, the busiest year I've ever had, by far.
Right.
So it was really challenging sometimes, and I lost my job, so it was also sort of financially challenging. And sometimes it's just no one responds, you know. You'll get days and things you do when people comment on Facebook or they'll retweet you. Other days when no one comments, and that's fair enough. Why should they? They've got their own thing to
do. But also I think you see it's something that happens daily. You don't sometimes, you comment on bits and then, but you actually, after a while, when I was halfway through, I just expected.
Yeah.
And I just read and looked at it rather than replied to it. Mm. Now, you have got finished. You finished in August this year. You've done your exhibition, which is in Bermondsey. At the what gallery was it?
It was at the Wolfson and Tay Gallery in Bermondsey. The month of August. And it's now moved to, well, it opens at the exhibition of the photographs and text opens at Hackney Picture House, and that runs from October the 15th to November the 9th.
Right. And how do you feel when you didn't have to do it anymore? First of all, are you still doing it?
I am still doing it.
Daily?
Yeah, daily. I don't post it every day, because funnily enough, actually doing it every day is easy, and it became habitual in a really positive way. I kind of post it if I think it's a funny one, or there's a photo to go with it, because I'm kind of allowing a bit of space for Sharon, who's taking over to do her thing as well. But I do post it because it's quite a nice way of keeping a diary of your life, actually. And also, I didn't do it for a week and I really missed it.
You missed it?
Yeah, I really missed it. So I think I would like it to be a lifelong practice.
Ah, right, so you want to keep doing it for...
I'd like to do it for the rest of my life.
Which is the point, really, isn't it?
It kind of feels like...
It's a point, isn't it, of trying to, you know...
Yeah, it's a sort of faith. I don't know how else to put it, really. It's kind of like, it's my faith as a godless heathen. It's my faith, yeah.
And so, Now, I know when you set this up, you didn't want to do it as a kind of project. It was more something that was...
I was just doing it as a human, not as an artist.
Yeah, but what are you... You've done an exhibition, so what's any other...
Yeah, well, actually, on Valentine's Day, I did a massive running all around town, giving away 50 homemade cards and cakes and stuff to people. And during the day, I met an agent from Peter Fraser Dunlop, by coincidence, in the pub, who said, "You've got a story here, so I'm starting to write a treatment for a book that I hope to get published," at his suggestion. But I'm also really, really keen to make it into a show. And we're going to do that with our company White Rabbit in collaboration with Fort Beard Fantasy. Going to make a show about kindness and the stories from my year, but sort of the nature of kindness itself. And so we're doing that.
And when would that happen? Next year?
Yeah, working on it next year. We're talking about taking it to Edinburgh, sort of touring it in the autumn of next year and the spring of the following year. So
okay, I think that's enough for the kindness project. Well, first of all, just say well done.
Thanks.
For an amazing year of being kind.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And we look forward to seeing more of that very soon. So if you want to hear more about the project Bernadette's done, where can we read more?
Well, you can go onto the White Rabbit website at the moment, www.thewhiterabbit.org.uk. And there's also a dedicated website, which is in development at the moment, just because the project's quite big. So we're going to set up a website just for the kindness project. And that will be, we'll announce on the White Rabbit site when that is live, so that's going to be...
And is there a Facebook page or Twitter page too?
Yeah, there's, you can follow me on Twitter, which is at Betty, B-E-T-T-E, Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, hashtag 366 Days of Kindness, or you can follow the community, 366 Days of Kindness on Facebook, or follow me on Facebook, Bernadette Russell. So there's lots of different ways of finding out what's going on in the world of kind.
Brilliant. Well, Bernadette, thank you so much for talking for this. Okay, so this podcast, I'm sorry it's been such a delay, but I'd like to do another podcast soon. I'd quite like to do one about solo artists next. Mm-hmm. And what it's like to work on your own in theatre. What's it like to work on your own as an author? And so I want to try to get hold of a group of people, so it might be a bit of a delay next month, but I'll try to do one at the end of October. And I'll be very interested, as always, to hear responses or people who want to come on to the podcast and be a guest. So get hold of me at gareth@thewhiterabbit.org.uk, or you can get me on Facebook, Gareth Briley, or you can get me on Twitter. I think most of my Twitters I've called Melick the Angel. I don't know why I'm called Melick the Angel, but I'm on there on Twitter.
Sort of mysterious.
Mysterious, yeah. Mm. Or you can get hold of us at The People Show, which is at peopleshow.co.uk. So thanks very much for listening, and see you very soon.
Bye. Be kind.
And next time I'm doing random acts of evil. That's my next year's project.